Okay, Cecile. Good morning, and welcome to the worship service of the Grace United Methodist Church on this beautiful Sunday morning. We're glad you're here. We welcome those who have joined us in in-person worship this morning, as well as all of those who have joined us across the internet. Again, we invite you to follow along with the service. Those in the sanctuary, the service will be on the screen behind me. And those of you that are following us online, the bulletin is available. As we strive to maintain our connectedness over this difficult time, we do have a number of communications that go out from the church during the week. We have a daily devotional that the pastor does at 3 o'clock every Sunday afternoon, every weekday afternoon. And also, we have a Zoom fellowship. We have fellowship opportunities for you, again, to maintain that connectedness and be able to see your fellow congregants. We meet at 10 o'clock on Sunday mornings and at 6:30 on Wednesday evenings. And the information for how to join that group is in the bulletin and in the email that comes out during the week. And we invite you to do that. Gives you a chance, again, to fellowship with your fellow Grace members. You get a chance to see some faces if you haven't seen them over the last couple of months. We celebrate with all who are celebrating birthdays and anniversaries this past week and upcoming week. Our anniversary list includes Ronnie and Beth, John and Wade and Billy are celebrating anniversaries this week. And birthdays, we have George, Kathy, Silas, Day-Day, Dalvon Presley, and Nancy. And the flowers today are given in celebration of the birthday of my son and my best friend. Alice's birthday is today. So if you get a chance to see her or message her today online, wish Alice a happy birthday. We wish you were all here so we could sing happy birthday to you personally. But know that we are celebrating with you in our hearts. And if there are no other announcements that come before the church this morning, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Let us prepare our hearts, our minds, and our spirits for worship.
As we continue to enter into worship today, I just want to say a word of welcome and thanks to those who are worshiping with us in person this morning, and remind you that you're invited to meditate and respond in your hearts at the points where we would previously have been speaking or singing in worship today, and that you're asked to remain seated throughout the service except for at the reading of the scripture lesson. And I just want to also remind those worshiping online at home that since those of us who are in the room won't be responding out loud or singing out loud, we hope that you will respond and sing out loud for us. Help us out. Stand up, sing, be heard. Be heard before the Lord this morning as those who have come to worship in person will be doing so in their hearts. And so we hope that everybody will participate in worship that way this day. And now let us pray. Teach us your way, O Lord, that we may walk in your truth. Give us undivided hearts to revere your name. Thank you. With everything we are, we will glorify your name forever. For great is your steadfast love toward us. You have delivered our souls from the depths of sin and death. You, O Lord, are a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. Turn to us and be gracious to us. Give us your strength. And show us a sign of your favor, because you, Lord, have helped us and comforted us. Amen.
We worship song in the singing of For the Healing of the Nations.
This morning, I want to say a special word of good morning to the children who are worshiping with us from home this morning. We're glad that you're joined in with your families, that you've gathered around to come to worship and to be a part of our worship here at Grace. This morning, as we talk together a little bit, I just want to highlight again the beautiful flowers this morning that are here for Miss Alice's birthday. And I want to highlight those because we have these beautiful flowers here, but we also know that that there are beautiful flowers that pop up in the world that spring up everywhere, out and about, all over God's good creation. There's beautiful flowers that come up everywhere. Sometimes we plant flowers on purpose in places where we want them to come up. Beautiful flowers in our yards, around the church, all sorts of places we put beautiful flowers around and about us. But sometimes there are some really beautiful looking flowers that pop up where we don't want them. Some really beautiful flowers that'll pop up right in the middle of your yard or right in the middle of your flower bed. And the flower looks pretty, but you might notice that it just starts to spread and take over everything all over near where it might be. That it starts moving, and when you see one, all of a sudden all sorts of other ones will pop up all over the place. I know that happens in my yard and in some of the flower beds at my house sometimes, and even, you know, sometimes in the garden bed where I've got things coming up that I'm hoping are going to provide good vegetables and fruits to eat. And so then those things, those flowers, even as beautiful as they look, those we call weeds. They're things we don't want to be where they are. And they spread, and some of them will spread fast, and they'll choke out the good stuff that we have planted, the good things that we meant to have where they were, where they are. And so those weeds have to be pulled up. And maybe you've helped at your house, maybe you've helped your parents or grandparents pull weeds at your house. And if you haven't, maybe today you could ask them, hey, are there any weeds we could go out and pull today? That's a good homework assignment for you, so to speak, a church school assignment for you today is to go out and ask a parent, are there some weeds we could pull somewhere? And go and get those weeds out. Even though they might look good, we know that they're not supposed to be there. And so we need to pull them out. Now, in our story from Scripture, in just a minute, we're going to hear that Jesus tells us that the kingdom of God is like a field that a good sower has come and planted wheat in. But then there was a bad sower, a different sower, an enemy sower who came and sowed a weed in. And this weed looks just like the wheat. And then the servants of the good sower say, so should we go and pull up those weeds? And in this case, Jesus has the good sower say, no, we can't pull up those weeds just yet. Because if we do, it'll uproot the wheat. This wheat that's going to provide us with what we need, the nutritious food that we need later on. We can't pull up those weeds just yet. And so we have to leave them there until the harvest. And then when the harvest comes, we'll separate them and we'll have the good wheat that we want and the weeds that we don't want in different places, and we'll keep them separated. And so what we have to remember for us today, and what I want you to remember as you're pulling those weeds that you can pull, that you've asked somebody at your house that you can pull first. Don't just assume it's a weed. It might not be. Ask somebody first. But as you're doing that, I want you to remember that Jesus tells us that we can't uproot the weeds immediately all the time. But for us, what we want to focus on is being wheat. We want to be that good thing. We want to do those things that help us to live lives that are close to what Jesus asks us to do, to live lives that are characterized by coming to worship, by singing loud when we're at worship, by praying, by reading our Bibles, by learning the stories of Jesus, and by being kind to other people in the world, by making sure that people know the love and grace of God through us. And so this day, I want you to remember that. I want you to remember that we're supposed to be that good thing, that wheat out in the world, that wheat that is a good and nutritious thing for the world, and not be weeds. And I want you to ask somebody if you can go pull weeds today or sometime this week as well. Would you pray with me? Thank you, God, for helping us to be wheat in this world, to be sources of love and grace, of spiritual nutrition for others in the world. Help us to always look to you for our nutrition and for our good sustenance in the soil of our faith and church. Help us to always be wheat. Amen. This morning, as we prepare our hearts to go to God in prayer, I just want to remind everybody that if you have prayer concerns you want to share with the church in worship or through the prayer concerns list in the bulletin, you can email me at pastor@gracecolumbia.org, or you can email the office, office@gracecolumbia.org as well. On Thursday of each week, there is a prayer email that's sent to all church all those who are on the church email list. So if you'd like to be added to that list, again, you can email me or the church office to be added in. Thursday's email is just one, as Sam mentioned, of five. We send one every day, and they all have different topics and themes, but Thursday's is about prayer. It includes the prayer list, but it also includes the prayers that are prayed during worship. And so you have an opportunity to reflect on those and utilize those in your prayer life leading up to our next worship service. And so I would invite you to participate in our prayer life that way and in the life of the church through our email list right now, so you can know what's going on at Grace. And now let's go to God in prayer. O God of grace and judgment, you sow the good seed of grace, mercy, and compassion into the world through us and in us. Help us to live lives that bear fruit worthy of the calling to which we have been called. Give us the courage to confess the places in our life where we have not lived into the righteousness and holiness of Christ. Give us the strength to repent and turn back to a life of Christ-likeness. In our fruitfulness, we are called to love and care for our neighbors, our brothers and sisters in Christ, and for the world. And so today we pray for all those who cannot leave their homes and apartments, especially for Ernestine, Violet, Ed, Peter, Flora, June, Marion, Jeanette, and all who are highly vulnerable to COVID-19. For all those suffering from other ailments for whom treatment is now more difficult and dangerous. For the family and friends of Officer Robert Hall, who passed away due to COVID complications this week. Officer Hall was a friend of Michael Baker. For the friends and family of Reddick at his passing, and for the friends and family of Sue on her death, both of these are lifted by Miss Donna Houston. For the Abstance family in the death of Mitzi's uncle, for the Baines family, especially Rada, and who's a friend of Darlene Simpson, in the death of Rada's husband. For all those who are grieving, for Miss Jackie Daniel, for Shannon and George Smith, we offer you praise and glory, O God, for their healing and ask your continued presence of healing on them. For Joyce Sweeney and Daryl, again, we offer praise and thanksgiving for Joyce's healing and ask your continued presence with her. For Miss Betty Arant, for Kathy Murphy and her family, for Joan Smith, Betsy Smoke's mother, and for all their family. For Mikey, Kristen, and Andrew, for the Abstances, for Bernard Presley, Felicia, and their family in Bernard's upcoming surgery on Monday. For Bernard Presley's father and mother. For Luther, Bill Cranford's father. For Rita Pardue. For Janice Seeley. For Ethan, a friend of Angus Smoke. For Sarissa. For Christine, a friend of Mary Mason. For Cindy, a friend of Mary Mason. For Renee Laird, a friend of Betty Arant. For all healthcare workers, our veterans, and VA staff. And for all the members of Grace and their families, for all those on our prayer concerns list, and for those concerns that go unspoken on our hearts. We also pray this day for farmers that they might receive rain for their crops, for those who maintain our food supply chain that they stay well and appreciated, and for those who work in food service that they might be treated with kindness, compassion, and respect. For our nation and for the systemic racism and culture of white supremacy to be eradicated from our shared life together. Give us the patience we need to bear witness to your grace in us to all we meet. Show us how to leave judgment to you, to hold one another accountable in the faith, and to welcome all who have not heard the good news into your mercy and love. We ask these things in the name of Jesus, the sower of the good seed, and we continue to pray as Christ taught us by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
We sing and meditate on the hymn, Love Divine, All Loves Excelling.
Please stand for the reading of the scripture. This morning's scripture is taken from the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 13, verses 34 through 30, and then verses 36 through 43. Hear these words of God. He put before them another parable. The kingdom of heaven may be compared to someone who sowed good seed in his field, but while everybody was asleep, an enemy came and sowed seeds among the wheat and then went away. So when the plants came up and bore grain, then the weeds appeared as well. And the slaves of the householder came and said to him, Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? Where then did these weeds come from? He answered, An enemy has done this. The slaves said to him, Then do you want us to go and gather them? But he replied, No, for in gathering the weeds, you would uproot the wheat along with them. Let both of them grow together until the harvest. And at harvest time, I will tell the reapers, collect the weeds first and bind them in bundles to be burned, but gather the wheat into my barn. And continuing with verse 36. Then he left the crowds and went into the house. And his disciples approached him, saying, Explain to us the parable of the weeds of the field. He answered, The one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed are the children of the kingdom. The weeds are the children of the evil one, and the enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are angels. Just as the weeds are collected and burned up with fire, so will it be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will collect out of his kingdom all causes of sin and all evildoers, and they will throw them into the furnace of fire, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Let anyone with ears listen. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Amen.
So the weed in this parable is more specifically a plant called darnel. I'm not sure I'm saying that exactly right, but darnel is D-A-R-N-E-L. It's a weed that looks very similar to wheat right up until the time the seeds become ripe for the harvest. Right up until it's time to harvest the wheat and the darnel grows right up with it. It looks very similar right up until that moment. And I learned this just this week. This was a new revelation for me, and I really kind of latched onto it. I first read it in one of the commentaries I was looking at called Feasting on the Word, and then looked some other places and found out more about this, because this revelation that this weed, darnel, mimics wheat so closely, it really piqued my interest about it. Apparently this weed, as it comes up, it looks just like the wheat right until the harvest, and at the harvest time, the seeds turn a little bit different color so that you can tell one from the other more easily. And if not sorted from the wheat, this darnel weed can sometimes carry a fungus that produces nausea, disorientation, and even death if consumed. If it gets ground up in the wheat, if it's not sorted out appropriately, it causes all of that if you start to use it ground up with your wheat, or it can at least. And so in Jesus' day, they had to get this darnel weed out of the wheat because it would potentially cause disastrous results. This is the weed. It's not just some general weed, but it's this specific weed that Jesus chooses to describe a reality about the kingdom of heaven. In our English, we just hear the wheat and the weeds. We don't hear that there's a specific weed that's there that Jesus is talking about. This is the one. Jesus chooses this particular weed and wheat to describe the kingdom of heaven, this mimicking weed that causes disastrous effects if not dealt with, represents a lived reality in the kingdom of heaven, according to Jesus. So he begins his parable and tells us about this good householder, this sower who goes out into the field and sows wheat. This is the very first thing that Jesus tells us about the kingdom, is that it's like a farm with two competing sowers, one good and one evil, one who owns the farm and one who sneaks onto the property to sow discord and chaos. One sowing wheat and one sowing darnel. But what Jesus tells us is that this isn't a sometimes event. Jesus doesn't say sometimes on occasion, if you don't do all the right things, then the weeds will be sown into the field and they will come up. Jesus doesn't say it that way. He doesn't say the kingdom is like sometimes this happens. He presents this as a fact of life in the kingdom. The weeds always come up with the wheat, Jesus says. The weeds always come up with the wheat. Jesus just presents this as a fact of life in the kingdom. Now, for Matthew and for us, this parable is important because it acknowledges a reality of the world that we live in a way that we sometimes don't engage with. It acknowledges this reality that there is evil in the world in which we live. There are people who do horrific things. There are people who do regular, everyday, mean things. I don't know if y'all know that or not. People who bully and harass others seemingly for sport. People who are willing to twist the truth and coerce and cajole others into acting or responding in certain ways. Not only that, but there are systems of sin and injustice in the world in which we participate as people moving about either inadvertently, advertently, or through willful ignorance. Those systems exist out there as well as weeds in the world, but make no mistake, even though those systems are there, this parable is about how people participate in the weedy side of life. This parable and its explanation is about how we as people participate in the weedy side of life. It's about how the weedy side of life exists as a fact of life in the kingdom, this side of Christ returning in glory. But if the kingdom of heaven has come in Jesus Christ, which is what we believe has happened, Jesus is coming into the world, dying and being raised for us means the kingdom of heaven has come, the kingdom of God has come. If it's come in Jesus Christ, then why do these people and systems continue to reveal themselves in our lives? Not just in the world, but in the church, in the community of faith of all places. We know that there are weeds out in the world. We know that this place is not perfect yet. We know that things haven't happened in our regular everyday goings and comings, but this parable from Matthew is talking about the kingdom as the field of the master. And for us in the church, it also means acknowledging that the weeds not only pop up out there in the world, but they pop up in the very household of God. In the church, in the community of faith, even here the weeds come up with the wheat. And this parable answers that question. Jesus answers that question in his explanation. He says, the weeds are sown among the wheat. The weeds are sown on purpose among the wheat by the enemy, by the one who comes to distract, to sow chaos and discord among the wheat. The weeds are sown to be a distraction and to run people off from the faith, to cause doubt and dissension about the efficacy of God's grace in our lives, so that people will look at the church and say, well, there's so many weeds there, why would I want to go there? There's just as many weeds out here. Or, I went, and I found out that I accidentally sat in somebody's pew and they told me to get up and move. It's a small one, relatively speaking, but how does it speak to our weediness rather than our wheat-likeness? The weeds are sown among the wheat, so what should we do? What should we do? If the weeds are sown among the wheat, then what do we do about it? How do we live in that light? What should we do? In this parable, the first solution offered up is often our knee-jerk reaction too. Let's pull them up. Uproot them. Let's figure out what those weeds are in our midst. Those weeds are in our life. Let's figure out who they are and let's pull them up and remove them from the field. Let's get them out. But Jesus explains the weeds are too deeply intertwined with the wheat to remove them without also destroying the wheat. You can't uproot them before the harvest, Jesus says. They have to be allowed to live and grow until the harvest time, right next to the wheat. And this is what's tough for us in this day and age, because this requires patience. Patience to let them be dealt with in the Lord's time, rather than rushing to judgment and action to uproot them entirely. Patience to let them be dealt with in the Lord's time, to trust that if they are indeed weeds, God will deal with it. But it also requires a shift in our perspective. Before we get into having that patience, we also have to change our perspective on this passage, because when we read this passage, like last week's, we often locate ourselves in the privileged position. No matter who we are, we locate ourselves in a privileged position in this passage. In this passage, we don't usually put ourselves in the place of the householder, even from the beginning before Jesus explains it. It's pretty clear that that's Jesus. So we don't put ourselves in the place of the one going around sowing the wheat most often when we read this passage. Instead, when we read it or hear it, we typically make ourselves the servants. The slaves, the ones who say, well, now, Jesus, we see these weeds. What should we do about them? Jesus, we see there are weeds. Should we go and pull them up? We make ourselves those servants who go to Jesus to want to make things better. We put ourselves in that place, and we live our lives in that way most often, as though we are above the field and not in it. As though we are somehow above the field, able to properly and appropriately discern what's happening, instead of seeing ourselves as being in the field. The slaves in this passage are the only ones not explicitly identified in the explanation Jesus offers. When Jesus goes back through and outlines who everybody is, he doesn't say who they are. He doesn't say, and this is you, disciples. No, Jesus doesn't say that. Jesus doesn't say anything about them. And yet we often read the passage as though we're in that position above the field, that we can tell the weeds from the wheat. Even if we can't pull them up, we can see and we know who the weeds and the wheat are. We have the power to uproot them if necessary. But I think for us as disciples, it is healthier and more faithful for us to read ourselves into the field and not over it. We have been sown into the field. Much like how we ended last week, this parable immediately follows the one we looked at last week. In fact, we should consider ourselves as seed sown into the world. But this time, the question we should ask ourselves is, what kind of seed am I? Last week, we asked ourselves, am I bearing fruit? What kind of soil is my life? What kind of soil am I investing in? This time, we ask, what kind of seed am I? Am I wheat? Or am I darnel? Am I wheat that provides nutrition and sustenance for the world? Or am I darnel? Do I just look the part till it really counts? And the answer to this question, again, lies in our fruitfulness, not our intention. We all intend to be wheat. Nobody says, now I'm going to be darnel and I just, y'all going to have to deal with it. We all intend to be wheat. We want to be wheat. But what do our lives give evidence to? Are there places where our living is closer to weediness than to wheat? How do we take care to live lives that bear evidence of the fruitfulness for the kingdom of God? What kind of seed are we? Only when we've answered these questions about our own growth in the field can we even begin to think about what to do about the weeds for us personally and as the church. We have to begin from the place of seeing we're wheat, we're not servants. So we don't really have the power to uproot. So we hold on to our position as wheat, not servants. Most of us are not called to the servant's position, whatever that might be, to be able to rightly judge between the two. There may be some within the kingdom who are called to that position, but this parable makes it clear that's not where we're supposed to begin. We begin from the place of wheat. Instead, if we are taking stock of our life through confession and repentance and holiness to be sure that we are wheat, that we are living lives of kingdom fruitfulness, not lives of choking, poisonous entanglement, then we can ensure that we have the appropriate boundaries in place in our lives and in our life of faith to prevent weeds from choking us out while simultaneously giving each of our neighbors, those that we might think might have an inkling that they're weeds, we might be able to give them the benefit of the doubt that they too are wheat or can be. You hear what I'm saying? We examine our lives. We make our focus. We make our day-to-day living in the life of faith. We start from the position of, am I doing everything I can do to be wheat? Am I doing everything I can do so that I'm not darnel, so that I'm not just looking the part, but I'm actually just here choking and poisonously entangling myself with the wheat? Or that I'm not out in the world spreading the weediness around, that I'm spreading the nutritious wheat of God into the world. We start from that place, and when we come to a place where we've got our own life and spirit in order, our own life of faith in order, then we ensure that we have appropriate boundaries in place to prevent the weeds from choking us out altogether. We don't have to identify who the weeds are. We just make sure that there are the right things around us, the right spiritual disciplines as a part of our life, the right order and discipline for our life together as a church to make sure that any weeds that might be around can't choke us out. We don't pass judgment on the weeds, but we make sure that the boundaries are there, that the pieces are in place so that the weeds can't choke us out. Can't run people off, can't be a distraction, can't be a piece that prevents us from participating in mission and ministry daily, that we don't have to focus on it all the time so that we're not wrapped up in our own internal fighting and squabbling, and so that we can be wheat in the world. Those boundaries let us give our neighbors the benefit of the doubt that they too are wheat or that they can be. Because ultimately, judgment isn't ours to dispense. Not ultimate judgment. We may set up the boundaries, and there may be triggers within that where if a boundary is crossed, there are consequences for actions. But ultimately, judgment, that eternal judgment, isn't ours to dispense. That eternal judgment of are you weeds or wheat isn't ours to dispense. Whether we're wheat or servants, it doesn't matter, because at the end of this passage, we hear that the reapers, a different group of workers, come in. They're not the servants. These are the reapers come in to judge. In the explanation, Jesus makes it clear that the reaping is a divine action. God handles that eternal judgment between weeds and wheat. So while we have to take care to have appropriate boundaries to protect against weediness, we leave the final judgment of fruitfulness for the kingdom of God to God. We don't do the judgment. The reapers are divine, not human. Now, it would be nice if this was the end of what Jesus had to say in Matthew's gospel about how we deal with conflict and difficult people in our life, and more specifically in the life of faith. It'd be real nice if this was it. As convoluted and tricky as this might be, it'd be nice if this was all there was to say. But it isn't the end. Instead, this is in fact a major theme in Matthew's gospel. And there are different prescriptions for different situations. primarily as we think about those inside the church versus those outside the church. Matthew and Jesus tell us a whole bunch about how to deal with conflict inside the church and conflict with those outside the church throughout this gospel. And this parable straddles both situations because its ultimate lessons that judgment belongs to God and that we need to scrutinize our own life for fruit that marks us as wheat are applicable when we're dealing with people outside the faith or inside the faith. These are lessons that Matthew highlights and develops throughout Matthew's gospel, culminating with Matthew 18 for how the church should deal with conflict between members, which includes the possibility of removal from the community and the criteria by which the entire world will be judged as either wheat or weeds. These lessons from Matthew are vitally important in our current climate of rancor and divisiveness in our country and in the world and in the church. They teach us about what it means to be welcoming and how we're supposed to hold one another accountable for our behavior and discipleship within the body of Christ. And our starting place today, your and my starting place this day from Matthew with this parable is to examine our own lives. Don't worry about everybody else. Examine our own lives and consider how wheat or weed-like we are. Put yourself in the field. Get a view of your position, what kind of seed you are sown from. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Almighty God, we know that you sow us as wheat. We know that you have sown us in your image to be good, to reflect you, but sometimes we give in to the weediness within us, to the sinfulness and brokenness in us, to the ways that we have been captured by sin and death. Sometimes we give in and we live lives that look more like weeds than wheat. Reveal your Holy Spirit to us this day that we would have the honesty and courage to look at ourselves closely, to examine our hearts and lives under a microscope, to come to a place of confession and repentance for the ways that we don't live up to how you have sown us in this world to be wheat, the ways where we could do better, the ways where we can be more faithful to you, where we can be more faithful to the calling to which you have called us. Help us to examine our own hearts and lives this day through the power of your Holy Spirit guiding us and directing us so that we might be more Christ-like in everything that we do. Help us to begin from this position, from seeing ourselves in the field as wheat, so that we can be sure to spread the good, nutritious news of your gospel, of your grace and of your love into the world so that we can make sure that others are wheat as well, that others live lives of wheat-likeness, Christ-likeness, that others know about your grace and your love and your mercy. God, we ask these things in the name of the good sower, the one who has come to live among us, to be with us, to know what it's like to be wheat in the world, to know what it's like to be in the midst of the weeds, your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. This time I invite those worshiping with us at home to join me in the Apostles' Creed and those here to join me in their hearts as we affirm our faith together. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be.
Morning, as we prepare to give back to God out of all that God has so graciously given to us, we have several different giving options available here at Grace. And as you're preparing, you can decide how you're giving. You can give online on our website at gracecolumbia.org. There's a couple of giving links there on the homepage, one on the right-hand side of the homepage at the top, and one on the left-hand side of the page halfway down. You can click either one of those. It'll take you to our giving page, and you can set up an account to be able to set up a recurring gift, or you can give as a guest. Either way, you can give a one-time gift, but if you set up a login, you can set up a recurring gift, and you can give to the General Operating Fund or to one of our other ministry funds, the funds that help us to do other ministry and mission over and above what's in our General Operating Account. You can also give by mailing in your offering or dropping it by the church using the mailbox outside. That mailbox outside is lockable. It stays locked, and so you can drop your offering there anytime you're around the church. For those worshiping in person today, you can place your offering in the offering plates at the doors as you leave worship. This day, I just want to say a word about our return to in-person worship. We have recently, as of last night, put out another survey about our return to in-person worship for those who have experienced it, as well as all those who haven't made that decision or have made the decision to continue worshiping from home. We've put out another survey so that you can help us to gauge how your experience has been with in-person worship, what maybe some of your biggest concerns are, and the reasons you either have, or mainly the reasons you have not come back, or what your greatest concerns are in coming back. And so I want to encourage you to take a look at your email. If you're on our email list, that's how we've sent it out so far, is through the email list. If you'd like to receive it and you want to email me, if you're not on the email list, you can email me at pastor@gracecolumbia.org, and I'll be happy to send you the link so that you can participate in the survey that way. Even if you don't want to join our mailing list, if you'd like to participate in the survey, I'm happy to send you the link. So please let us know. We'd love to know more about what you're feeling about this return to in-person worship and where we are in our COVID-19 worship experience as it is and as it stands this day. So having prepared our hearts and lives to give back to God, let us pray. Creator God, we are learning day by day to wait with patience for you. We wait with all of creation. We wait with each other. We wait with those who feel the stings and sorrows of persecution, hunger, homelessness, sickness, death, and grief. But our waiting is not passive. We are active in our waiting, groaning and pushing forward towards the day when you rule in power and majesty, actively working for your kingdom so that our action might point to your love, your justice, your reign. Accept these, our tithes and offerings this day, as the first fruits of our active waiting. Bless them so that they may be used to point the way to you. Amen.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above the heavenly host.
worship through. In Christ, there is no east or west.
In Christ, there is no east or west. In Him, no south or north. But one great fellowship of love throughout the whole wide earth. In Christ shall true hearts everywhere their high communion find. His service is a golden cord close binding humankind. In Christ is neither Jew nor Greek, and neither slave nor free. Both male and female heirs are made, and all are kin to me. In Christ now meet both east and west, in Him meet south and north. All Christ's souls are one in Him throughout the whole wide earth.
Our mission at Grace is to know Jesus and to make Him known to others. After the benediction response this morning, the ushers are going to come forward and direct those of you worshiping in person to exit the building. You'll be leaving through different doors based on the side of the sanctuary that you're sitting, and just want to remind you about that. Please also don't linger in the church or the doorways, but we do want to just let you know that if you'd like to greet one another after the service, please do so in the parking lot. And now receive this benediction. Go into the world ready to be the wheat that God has sown you to be, ready to be the fruitful, grace-giving presence of God in the world. Examine your hearts and lives for any trace of weediness so that no one would see you and not want to be a part of God's grace and God's mission in the world. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.